Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President with the John Maxwell Company. Welcome, and thank you for joining. Just as a quick reminder as we get started, I hope that you're enjoying the sound quality again for the next couple episodes. We are back together. It's always good to be in the room with Perry as we
This is excessive distance.
This is right. We're 12 feet apart. Jake is doing a good job making sure that we take care of it. But listen, we are just glad that you're joining us. This is something we enjoy doing, and we love getting together and hopefully just adding value to you and your leadership journey, and kind of where you're at. But as a quick reminder, before we really get started into today's content, if you want more on the five levels of leadership, or even perhaps consider maybe Perry or one of our executive coaches walking a leadership road with you and coaching you, if you'll just do me a favor, visit johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. You could also leave a comment or a question there that Perry and I would love to kind of address moving forward in a future podcast. Well, there's also a learning guide there. Perry does an incredible job developing the content for us. And if you want to kind of follow along with the learning guide, you can find that there as well to take notes from. So today's topic, and I'm really excited about where we're going. This is, I think, a message that everyone that needs to hear these days and kind of begin thinking through. And so Perry kind of went and spent some time thinking, and over the next four episodes, we're going to really talk about the kind of the diversity and inclusion from our standpoint. And we're not going to dig in too deep.
Right, no.
We do have the privilege of doing that with some organizations, but we want to just kind of give you some high-level thoughts and kind of what we're hearing, what Perry's hearing specifically, and what he's been working on. And so we hope you enjoy it. But today, we're going to start out on this podcast, this episode. And, you know, Perry always gives me great titles. And so I have it in front of me because I don't need to mess it up. But really, today, we're going to talk about flattening the hierarchy curve through diversity and inclusion. Now, I have no idea what that means, but we're fixing to figure that out. And there's no doubt that it sounds like you kind of pulled something out of the COVID-19, curve. But so tell us what you're thinking about here, Perry.
Yeah, flatten a curve. Let's flatten this one.
Yes.
In leadership, I'm finding that it's pretty easy to surround yourself with people that look and sound a lot like you do. Mm. And we just have a bias for doing that sometimes. And when I say flattening the curve, the hierarchy curve, I'm talking about inviting more voices into your leadership. And that if there's a large gap between you at the top and the others, the subordinates, people that report to you on your team, if there's a large gap there between you and the followers, you're really establishing a culture that's dependent on your thoughts and your ideas alone, perhaps. And so I really wanted to think, how would I go about flattening this hierarchy curve so there's less gap between me and the followers, and invite others to have a point of view, speak into the direction, operation of the business, open the door of possibility. And I know at John Maxwell, you guys have a pretty flat hierarchy.
We do.
And you do that on purpose. And you also have a diverse set of voices that speak in. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are.
Yeah, there's an expectation here in John's world. I say here in our enterprise with all four groups from the standpoint of there's an expectation for your voice to be heard. It doesn't matter, and this kind of goes back to our thoughts on influence, right? Leadership is influence. It doesn't matter your title, doesn't matter how long you've been here, doesn't matter your background, your experience. There's an expectation that you will voice your thoughts. It's why you're in the room. It's why you're on the team, and we also encourage a lot of cross teams, kind of cross functional discussions and perspectives. And we don't always do the best job when it comes to, especially cross-functional. We'll make sure that we're not communicating with the other team and, hey, this is going out. Hey, what'd you think? How'd this affect you? What would you have done differently? The other thing, too, is one of the things I love is Mark, our CEO, sets the tone from the get-go. And that tone is, hey, I really want everybody at any time to be able to step into anybody's office and just check in,
right.
Ask them a thought. Ask him a question, whatever it might be. He goes, so just know, as the CEO, I'm going to do that. As a leader of a certain group, I want you to do that to other groups. It doesn't matter who the individual is. And so they've kind of set it up that way, from the get-go. And that's kind of, how we try to kind of flatten that curve when it comes to allowing other people to kind of speak into that. So here, so Perry, I know that you have some ideas, right, on even just how we can help those that are listening really kind of leverage a diverse workforce and make their organization more successful. Talk to us a little bit about
that. I thought maybe you'd comment on the fact that I didn't have five ways to do something or five thoughts.
No, I thought I'd take it easy on
okay,
you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. I'll go ahead and give away the ending now because it all boils down to me. It'll sound simple, but the magic bullet of being a leader that sees diversity and inclusion as a positive way to grow the business is valuing people. Mm. And I can't say enough about that. Sounds easy, but it's if you do not value others, it really doesn't matter how much a D&I you talk about. It just won't be a part of who you are as a leader. And so it's really going to depend on how you see people, how you treat people, how you value people. Especially, we'll talk a little more about differences and how you see that. But to me, it really comes down to value.
Yeah, and not only so what I was thinking about when you talk about valuing people is if you only value people like you, yeah. Right, you set yourself up for failure. I was thinking, you know, we talk a lot about behavioral profiles and how when there's similarity between the behavioral profiles there, you have an immediate connection, and you kind of, you like that, like, hey man, we were separated at birth. But when there are differences, you immediately try to disconnect. And so a lot of us say, oh no, I value people. But what we're talking about here is the second part of kind of what you're saying is we got to make sure that you're just not valuing people that are like you in order for you to kind of flatten this curve, respect the differences, and then also be able to have that diverse thought process and right. feel and value. So let's talk a little bit about how do our leaders, our listeners, us, how do we flatten that curve?
Well, I know you'll know that it's you have not flattened that curve. If there's a big gap between you and your followers, I've noticed, I think from the authors of Crucial Conversations, use the term salute and stay mute, is that I see people kind of, you know, saluting and just going along, getting along, not commenting and just staying quiet. They won't speak up. Another thing I've seen, we talked about on a previous podcast, I think came from David Marquet on his great book about share of voice, is just noticing in your meetings, in your discussions as a team, who's talking?
Yeah.
Is it all you? Is it mostly you? Is the share of voice, if you partitioned out the minutes on the meeting and said it was 75% you, you're probably not flattening that curve. And if people on your team are excessively good, I've found it playing it safe. They just don't want to risk a mistake or a failure. They don't feel it safe in your presence to speak up, to take a chance, to try something. Then more than likely, they're viewing that hierarchy in the organization as you're there, I'm here, and I'll just salute and stay mute.
Yeah, and even to that last point, let me just add on there. You know, a lot of this really is accomplished. Some things that we talk about at the level two of the five levels of leadership, the foundation that we believe you really need to build off. Obviously, level one, you have the title, it's a position, right? But where the foundation for your success of leader is built off of is at that two, at level two. And there is where you've got to connect with your people. And the only way to truly connect with the people is to be authentic. Mm. And when you're authentic, then that's a trust accelerator. And so the best way for you to be able to begin thinking about this is to really keep in mind, you've got to do it with a pure motive. Listen to us. We're not saying this is not a game. You're not playing a game. Like, you go in there and you be authentic and you build that connection, you trust, and that's going to begin to allow people to begin to want their voice to be heard.
Right. Well, another thing I've noticed sometimes as leaders, we give the illusion, and it's probably for good reasons, that I have all the answers.
Oh, man.
And that I heard Andy Stanley say this. He goes, the dirty little secret of leadership is I don't have all the answers.
Right, right.
But we try to, sometimes we hang on to that people expect us to have the answers. And that puts us up, that widens the curve between me and the followers. And I really said, what would bring that curve down, to flatten that curve, would be to me to say, even if I do have the answer, to maybe say I don't have the answer, or what do you think the answer is, and invite people into the conversation, really lean on that diversity of thought, diversity of backgrounds that people can bring to the conversation.
Yeah, and I want to just add on to that, and I totally agree with kind of where Perry's going with this of saying, you know, I don't know. But listen to me. I don't want you to do it in a way that, you know, they know that you know, and you're just saying that to try to get their voice. I want you to be authentic about it. And so maybe you even change. When you do know, you still want their voices to be heard, by the way. Okay, just a little bit of a tip. If you want them to buy in, they need to feel like their voices are heard.
Right.
And you want to be authentic about it. So maybe it's even like, hey, tell me how you would, and you get them to give you that feedback to help give you ideas. And most of the time, to be honest with you, I may think I know the answer going in. And so I do it in a way that I go, man, like in my mind, I'm going, that is a much better way to do that, because I asked the question. And so just make sure you're being authentic about it. Listen, leaders, you don't have all the answers, and that's okay to say I don't know. But if you do know, then just make sure you're doing it with a pure heart behind it, and ask the question a different way, and you can still attain getting that conversation from everybody in the room.
Right. Remember? Well, a lot of times about this time, people start looking at the word vulnerability, and are you... a lot of people don't like that. It seems like it's weak. Are you asking me to be more vulnerable in front of my folks? Mm-hmm. Yes, but it doesn't mean weak.
That's right.
It just means you're open, and I like the way you just put that. You know, diversity is really, to me, a learning to appreciate each person on my team for their unique perspectives, their experiences, their contribution. Knowing that they're not like me, they've come up in a different way, have different experiences, different knowledges, may have different nationalities, may have different cultural come froms. But I know that you've led teams for quite a while. What's your experience with really looking at differences and inviting different voices?
Yeah, let me share an experience with you that I just personally had, and I've had the privilege of leading teams for a long time. And then even the current team that I have the privilege of leading, we've been together for a while. And I want to encourage you, when you begin thinking about this, we talk a lot about ask questions, right? John wrote a great book on that, Parent. I talk about it a lot. It's part of what we do and how we lead. But I want you to think about when you're thinking about this diversity of thought and encouraging people to speak up. And it's for the benefit. Remember, the motive is for them, for you, for the organization. Like, everybody wins when you go down this road. But I want you to think about asking different kinds of questions to understand the perspective or the diversity of thought and where it's coming from your team members. And when you do that, what I've found is that you will respect their insights at a greater level than you did before, because you may not understand it, but if you know where it came from, then you'll have it will connect with you. So here's the example. I had a offsite with my team getting ready for the second half of the year. And everybody, you know, knows obviously this kind of crazy thing's going on. And you know, we're innovating, trying new ways, trying to figure out. And I told the team, listen, hey, it's halftime, right? It is halftime, and we are going to win. We got to do things differently in the second half. We got to make some adjustments. We're going to get offsite. We're just going to talk about some things, do some things differently. We're going to challenge each other. And so brought in Rick Vandermeiden. So we believe, you know, our facilitators, who's on our facilitator bench, just like Perry, brought him in. And I said, hey, I'm going to give you the day. We got to get better. Let's talk about this. And so he did his thing and spent an entire day, invested the day with us. And I set the story up to say this about the diversity of thought and respecting it, where it's coming from, and appreciating it. So he asked a question, and I set the stage of saying, I've led these people for a while. He asked the question. He said, what is a memory that you have from your early childhood, high school, middle school, whatever, that has shaped the way that you currently live or act in this environment, at home or whatever? And I thought, wow, that's a really good question, okay? And I wrote down, by the way, leaders, when you hear stuff about your team, write it down, okay? I wrote down about every one of my team members what I heard, and I've known them for a long time, and I promise you, I didn't know 80% of the answers that I heard that day. And right. I was like, man, shame on Chris. But here's where I'm going with this diversity of thought. So I have one particular team member that, oh man, like, I just want that individual to speak up, because there's so much knowledge or so much history there. I want there to be a little more assertiveness, all those things that I want out of that individual. And I can't figure out, you know, why sometimes, even though we have conversations about it, it doesn't happen. And this certain individual came back, and they're like, here's the memory that I have They said HBF. I was like, where are we going with this? Like, time out. And we're like, what does that mean? She goes, it stands for hold back family. And she was saying, as I was growing up, right, my parents were, it was all about generosity and let others go first and all kind of stuff. And they had a family. And anytime they had somebody over, they would just walk around and be like, you know, hey, HBF, meaning they're going to be generous and allow the other people to go first. Now, I tell you this story because this leader in our organization is a gifted leader, but that's what happens in our meetings, is that she waits for other people to go first and then sometimes won't even say anything. And I'm not getting the diversity of thought out of her that we want to have on our team. And now I completely understand why. And so I just want to challenge you as you think about this and flattening that curve, that you got to go about it a little bit differently. And there's some opportunities that you can do to ask creative questions to understand where it's coming from. So then as a leader, I can lead her out of that so that we get that diversity thought.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Wow. That's great. Last thought I had, love your thought on this, was one of the diversities on my team was generational and experiential. There's some people that were new, some people very experienced. And I tended to lean toward people that with the greater experience, the longer tenure. And I realized one day I had really missed it. Actually, I read Liz Wiseman's great book, Rookie Smarts, got me to thinking about how much emphasis I was putting on experience when really that the new people, the young people, if I could just shut up and listen, they are coming at it from a completely different point of view from me, which is a point of diversity that I had missed. And I know you've had some younger sales folks come through on your team, and just the newness of thought there that I think the Rookie Smarts brings to the table.
Yeah, one thing I would just caution everybody that's joining us on this podcast is do not stereotype everybody into certain groups, right? We're talking about this flattening of diversity. And when Perry just said the millennials, I remember a conversation I had with one of them that was like, hey, no. I don't think that way. I don't act that way. I do it this way, right? And I get frustrated when I hear people kind of just put me in as a millennial. And so I also want to challenge you guys, just think about that. Don't make an assumption of how their diversity of thought would come across because they're part of, in this example, a millennial. But I love what you said, because how many times you bring a new team member on, no matter where they come from, the experience, and you're like, man, that is a great idea. Why hadn't we thought about that? And man, we need you asking questions like that. And so that diversity of thought of what we're talking about right here and challenging us, it just gave us energy and it rejuvenated kind of where we were at. And so my question is, why wouldn't we do that all the time?
Exactly. Yeah.
Why wouldn't we be open to that type of questioning and that type of thought all the time? And so we need to have that fresh ideas, those questions, and be open to that all the time and know that we do just get into a rut at times and just allow things to be, and then that diversity doesn't happen.
Yeah, I can hear me saying that, yeah, we don't do it that way around here. And they looked at me and said, why not?
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't have an answer.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I should
Okay, maybe
listen.
We should think about it.
Go ahead and wrap it up for us, Chris.
Yeah, hey, I just want to kind of go back to a very simple principle. It's what everything that we do is based off of. And it's leadership is influence. And if that's the case, and we believe it is, everybody on your team, everybody in your family, your community, they have influence and their voice needs to be heard. And as a leader, it's your responsibility to kind of pull that out of them so that there is a diversity of thought, so that everybody feels comfortable with their voice being heard. And getting back to even, you know, the theme of today is just flattening that curve, because that's how we are all going to be better. And so maybe just take some time and think about your team right now, those you have influence with. Who are you not hearing from? Perry gave us a great example, right? It's like, I need to hear from you a little bit more. And then maybe you have a meeting with them prior to the meeting before the meeting, and just say, hey, I really want to hear from you. I really want to hear from your voice. I really want you to be a part of this discussion. And maybe that's what it'll take for them to be able to do that. And I promise you, if you can get into a healthy place as a team and as a leader, you'll have a hard time ending the meetings on time because everybody wants their voices to be heard. And that's how we should be leading. That's how the best ideas win. You know, we talk all the time about, John says, listen, if you don't speak up and add value to this meeting, I'm not inviting you back to the next meeting.
Right.
So just think about that with your own team and how you're leading and the impact that you have on those people.
Fantastic. Thanks, Chris. And just as a reminder, if you'd like to learn more about the five levels of leadership or perhaps bring a five levels workshop to your organization, you can go to johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. You can also leave a comment or a question for us there. We love hearing from you, and we're always grateful that you join us here. That's all for today from the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.